Hello and welcome to A Skeptic's Guide to Conspiracy, the podcast that examines conspiracy theory, conspiracy fact, and those who promote these theories. I'll be your host, Mike Bowler, as we take a look at conspiracy in the news for the week ending December 15th, 2017. And to get the ball rolling here a little bit, there has been not necessarily a heavy load like last week, but today a couple of interesting ones, at least in my mind, have popped up. More stuff about the deep state. There's a story about how progressives perpetuate the concept of the deep state. The idea that there's a concerted effort to undermine the president of the United States, Donald Trump. Part of it is supposed to be people working within his administration, though not necessarily high up in the hierarchy, but it's just people that were left over from the Obama administration trying to undermine Trump and his policies, you know, leaking information, which does pop up in my conspiracy feeds. But it's also apparently in concert with the media to basically make Donald Trump look bad. And again, in these stories, there was a couple this week. Nothing, you know, these stories never really, I don't know, they're kind of comical in a way where, you know, when Donald Trump does something stupid like hop on Twitter, those stories then hit the media like a, you know, lightning storm. And next thing you know, then of course, it's guys like Alex Jones who will be on the air saying, oh, poor Donald, he's being picked on by the deep state, or he's being undermined by the deep state. And it kind of slides into the second story about Russian disinformation from AIDS to fake news. This comes out of the New York Times. There was an Operation Infection by the East German Foreign Intelligence Service in the 1980s, with the idea, with the intention of planting false stories about the AIDS epidemic. And one of them was that it was a product of biological weapons experiments conducted by the United States. The disease disproportionately impacts gay men, and the Reagan administration's slow response had escalated into suspicion in the gay community that the United States government was responsible for its origins. The KGB eventually picks up on this and adds a new twist with the specific location, Fort Detrick, Maryland, where military scientists conducted biological weapon experiments in the 1950s and 60s. And this comes from records from the East German Stasi in Berlin. And a handful of anonymous letters went out from, and it's been sourced to the KGB to try to make the claim of weaponized viruses and so on, that there is that the United States has a virus that targets ethnic groups, or it might target black people, might target gays, whatever the target, and that this is known. Well, these were stories that Alex Jones has been promoting every so often on his show about weaponized viruses, which isn't necessarily out of the question. It's just that no one has ever been able to find I think it links to the gay gene that's supposed to be that it's genetic, you know, there's supposed to be a genetic key that these viruses can identify and then know to activate or whatever that's the logic that's coming out of some of these conspiracy types. And apparently these stories has actually been a manifestation of the Russian government, most likely the KGB, and apparently also out of the East German Stasi. My third story is there was a number of these, that popped up about the flat earth conspiracy theory that NASA's hiding evidence that the Earth is flat, and then there's all these different reasons why, and so on. The article actually kind of runs through all the major players, guys like Kyrie Irving, Bobby Ray Simmons, Biz B.O.B., Tia Tequila, Freddie Flintoff from the UK. I've already kind of reported on this last two shows. Nothing really new. It's just that now it apparently, because of this celebrity endorsement of this, that is, it's gaining traction amongst millennials, or any number of Americans have been latching on to the Flat Earth conspiracy. According to Google, the searches have increased 90%. So it is pretty scary thought that more and more people are starting to believe that the Earth is flat. I mean, the Flat Earth, I thought this was decided 2,000 years ago. So this is kind of new, you know, this is kind of weird why all of a sudden an interest in the Flat Earth. I had an article, it was actually a Snopes article about George Soros grooming a pro-Muslim Brotherhood gubernatorial candidate in Michigan. And of course, no, he isn't. There is no proof. This seems to be a story that's picked up by Alex Jones and many of the alt-right news sources, claiming, of course, George Soros, he's the poster child for the alt-left, liberal, you know, the war on Christian values, whatever the arguments are. And then George Soros is financing all this. Apparently not, but, hey, let's not let facts get into the way of a good story. Now, on occasion, as I go through these Google searches for news stories, my Google alerts, and some fun stories pop up every so often. And I thought this was fun about a conspiracy saying that the Saints-Falcons game was fixed. One begins with a simple fact. The Saints, who choked up a 17-10 fourth quarter lead, wound up losing 20-17, were penalized 11 times for 87 yards. The Falcons, meanwhile, were penalized just 4 times for 35 yards. Naturally, the Saints fans started searching for reasons for this disparity, and apparently a few ideas were thrown out there that the Saints quarterback, Bobby Hubbard, he said that the NFL wanted the Saints to lose so the Christmas Eve game against the Falcons would mean something. I don't know what that means. There's nothing to support that. And that seems to be all that he said. You know, somehow having a team lose that makes it different when they play a few weeks later. The second piece of information that added fuel to the conspiracy fire came from a report from Pro Football Talk. It turns out one of the officials who worked the Thursday Saints-Falcons game was Phil McKinney, a former offensive tackle who actually played 5 seasons for the Falcons from 1976 to 1980. Apparently, the idea that a former player who has now got a job as a referee, official, umpire, then decides that he's going to mess with the Falcons, or actually apparently, oh yeah, he helped the Falcons win. Once you're off the team, I don't understand this too, because as an official, you're supposed to be an independent. You have no opinion which way. There should be no reason. Plus, not being a member of that team anymore, there's no need to have any type of favoritism. But yet, of course, the rumor mill running full blast. Yeah, I could see where that might have, where it gained some traction. But that the stuff, you know, I'm sorry, when it comes to sports, you know, unless there's really is, now again, there's not out of the question that, you know, there have been, you know, gambling elements who have tried to influence games, point shaving. There was of course, one of my favorites was the 1919 Black Sox scandal, where a number of the players were paid to throw the World Series. with that said, nowhere has anything about point shaving or any type of gambling going on here. There's no, certainly no one's presented any evidence in support of any type of collusion or whatever. So I'm kind of at a loss. There's just, quite frankly, some teams may not perform as well as they're supposed to, and sometimes they fall down. Apparently, it sounds much like the Saints. Yeah, with the Saints being penalized 11 times for 87 yards. I mean, that's not great. It really sounds like they're really struggling toward this last quarter. I mean, if you had to play four quarters in professional football and you're not hurting and tired, and when things aren't necessarily going your way, yeah, your performance is definitely going to start failing. And apparently the Saints just collapsed, under their own weight. So I find this conspiracy. It's funny. I mean, it's sad that you have to resort to a conspiracy to explain away why your team just failed. I mean, there's nothing wrong with a team losing. Come on. I'm from Chicago. It took us 100 years to get the Cubs to the World Series. I mean, this stuff happens. Okay. And I'll leave it at that, because of course I got more Alex Jones to talk about. Again, he talks about with the women that's accusing Trump of sexual assault aren't attractive enough to be credible. They have met Megyn Kelly with these women that say that he asked them out or tried to give them their number, or one had been rude to him on an airplane, so he called her the C word in one case 30 years ago, Jones said. Another woman says this is like 11 or 12 years ago. He asked for a phone number. Then Jones focuses on the women's look. And I'm sorry, she's not Trump's type. I do not think these women are attractive. Trump is a complete perfectionist when it comes to women, and just none of this fits, Jones said. I would definitely expect this type of talk out of Alex Jones. He's certainly not the nicest person. He's more than happy to call women ugly. I don't know. He's certainly not necessarily the nicest person. And certainly, of course, when you're accusing his man Trump, of course you're going to make up stories about these women's looks. The looks isn't important. It's the fact that Trump hit on these women, attempted to hit on them, got shot down, whatever he did, ticked these women off. Now they're coming forward. And of course, it's okay for a Republican if a Democrat does that, we gotta kick them out of Congress, or they gotta leave Congress. But certainly, a Republican, we can't do that, or we don't do that. This whole story about trying to shame these women, Jones has no morals. He has no tact. He doesn't really care. How can he even know what Trump likes? I mean, are they bros, hitting the bars? Donald is, Alex Jones' wingman. I don't know, but, it's just the insanity that comes out of Alex Jones' mouth is, if you listen to my show, the type of stuff Jones will talk about. Now, another interesting story about, has to do with, burnt alive in a Jewish sacrifice, crazed Grenfell Tower conspiracy theory peddled by volunteer aid worker. Tara Ahmed, who has been running an aid network to help those affected by the fire, is also alleged to refer to the deadly blaze as a Holocaust while describing the mass killing of Jews by Nazi Germany as a holo hoax, according to the Times. In a post on her Facebook page about the Grenfell fire, she wrote, Watch the live footage of people trapped in the inferno with the flames behind them. They were burnt alive in a Jewish sacrifice. She adds, Grenfell is owned by a private Jewish property developer, just like the Twin Towers. I wonder how much Goldman Sachs is standing to make in the world's most expensive real estate location, Kensington. This particular conspiracy actually finds its origins. This is basically out of the Protocols of the Learned Elders Zion, an alleged document, actually determined to be a hoax document, but it was supposed to map out the Jewish takeover of the world and to subjugate non-Jewish people. And of course, then on top of it, to build the story on a Jewish conspiracy, a Jewish cabal, so to speak, of, you know, to take over the world. This blood libel, I don't know if it's a conspiracy or just a, sounds like more, again, the conspiracy. I don't really know the full details of the blood libel, but I should probably research that a little bit. But there's a lot of stuff that has been attributed to Jewish, of course, the Jewish bankers, financial types like George Soros. Of course, then there's the Jewish banking conspiracy, the Rothschilds, that type of stuff. And of course, again, this all fits into this long-term war to take over the world. I don't necessarily find this type of talk out of character. There are numerous people who still believe that there's a Jewish conspiracy. And it's just, again, this has been going on for almost 200 years about this Jewish, the secret meetings, the organizing, they even claim that the Jews created the Holocaust to cover up what they were doing. There's so much stupid talk by people who, they just don't like the Jews. And mostly these are evangelical Christians, even though there are those who are trying to help Israel rebuild. I think there's the idea of the Temple on the Mount, rebuilding Solomon's temple, and then that would bring on the second coming of Jesus, which is supposed to start the Revelation. So this weird, a lot of this Christian anti-Jewish stuff will pop up, and I'm not going to make the judgment of Ahmed's nationality, but again, this is probably someone who is not a friend of Jewish people, and of course, to then keep perpetuating the conspiracy. Now, I've got more about the deep state, that apparently there is a conspiracy to overthrow Donald Trump, being plotted by Hillary Clinton and George Soros. This story basically is that there's a handful of people who believe that there's this deep state plot to to either get Trump impeached or probably an outright assassination. And this is coming out of people like Eric Prince of Blackwater. And in this particular article, there's Eric Prince and a retired CIA officer, no name who this retired person is. It might be, I'm not even sure who that might be, but anyhow, they don't give a name. And of course, apparently with assistance from Oliver North, the idea is to provide CIA Director Mike Pompeo and the White House with a private spy network that would circumvent official U.S. intelligence agencies, according to several current and former U.S. intelligence officials and others familiar with the proposal. The source says the plans have been pitched to the White House as a means of countering deep state enemies in the intelligence community seeking to undermine Donald Trump's presidency. I mean, again, there's stories actually for next week. I'm looking, seeing some stories about the FBI may have been maybe, again, more deep state people. Apparently, if you're investigating or you're doing something, a person like myself who is not a really big fan, who's may talk, and of course, because I'm trying to debunk this deep state. Apparently, that makes me part of the deep state. So, and that's all it takes. You're investigating Trump. Oh, you're part of the deep state. You're writing a news article about Trump. You're in the deep state. You're all part of the deep state. I mean, this even goes all the way back to, the story about Barack Obama, former president, apparently has built a bunker in Virginia to conduct operations against Donald Trump. There's just so much nonsense. I mean, when the media tries to talk about, when they talk about what the Donald or his spokespeople, the people that works around him, when they do their interviews and they talk and they collect their stories, and then when the news reports it, what was said, automatically they're, if the story doesn't matches what is in the Donald's head at that time, oh, you're deep state. You're trying to undermine my presidency. I mean, the facts that get presented, apparently the idea that the truth is bad, if there was, I hate to even start sounding like this, like a conspiracy type, but it sounds an awful lot like what, 1984, everything down the memory holds. But I'll leave it at that because, again, there's another story about, Alex Jones and George Soros that Alex Jones is talking about George Soros and his Jewish connections are creating these sexual harassment allegations against Donald Trump. And of course, I mean, just in general, the articles are going on about, deep state to take over CNN for backing an Antifa civil war plot. To be clear, now sources blame for allegations surrounding Trump's behavior with women. InfoWars, of course, has been running these stories about against Soros and attacking the story about these women coming forward. Okay, then an interesting story. I've been actually kind of digging into this a little bit about the Russian connection for conspiracies. Now, I've already mentioned a few things that I know right off the top of my head about the protocols, the protocols that are, these were created by the Russian secret police as a way to, well, and originally it was the under the Tsarist rule that that the Jews were causing the problems in Russia. The communists took embraced that to allow for collectivization and the the various famines in Russia from 1920 to 1940, in effect, the collectivization, the mass deportations, the arrests, the various actions that the Russians took post revolution, the various civil wars, the various famines in the Ukraine and so on. And all these, the Russians were very adept at utilizing conspiracy to pit one group against the other. So it's really fascinating stuff, but I haven't really gone that far into it, and I have not generated any type of timelines or, I mean, I'm just actually just discovering this over this past week. So hang on for more stuff on that. But there was an article that actually kind of started mentioning, or it, apparently, at least to me, that the Russians have been very good at creating these irrational conspiracies that has found its way into through Western media or even third party type news sources, finding its way to the United States, coming out through InfoWars, or even being picked up by mainstream news or, of course, folks like me. So I hope to have more on that. So hang on to that. A really weird conspiracy has popped up called ElsaGate. I think this is something new. There's a, again, this is coming out of, it's originating out of Reddit. And there was a fellow on Reddit. And the idea that what's going on here is there's been a number of YouTube videos that have been coming out where they would, when you find them or when you're going through there, you'll see various Disney characters or various superhero characters. Like apparently the big one was Elsa from Frozen, but also Spider-Man and Joker. And when you start watching it, it's looks pretty innocent until apparently then they devolve into, these videos would arrange these characters into bizarre situations involving cheating spouses or public urination. And then digging deeper, the moderator said that he's seen videos with innocent thumbnails that click through to videos of children giving hand jobs to old men and other depravity. He didn't know who was responsible, but he knew something was wrong. There is certainly something going on here. I didn't dig too deep into this, so let's, I might have to come back to this one. So to kind of go into this wrap up, you know, like I said, I've gone through all these, you know, all these stories are all this kind of the same deep state. There's been a few, sports conspiracies, a lot of finger pointing at George Soros. And I want to try to wrap up on a kind of, this is going to be more of a more commentary than anything factual, but, what popped up in my, again, in these conspiracy feeds was, the Sargon of Akkad cites not white nationalist propaganda reveals his alt-right sympathies. Carl Benjamin, known online by his popular persona, Sargon of Akkad, expresses his sympathies with the racist alt-right movement this week, including perpetuating alt-right propaganda that Heather Heyer was not killed by a car attack at the Unite the Right rally earlier this year, but instead suffered a heart attack due to poor health. Now, I normally wouldn't talk about Sargon because I really don't care. I have no interest in his politics. He seems to be certainly up to this point, he was very much a rape apologist. He's done a lot of videos, but he seems to, there's been only like a handful that he delves into these subjects that the more liberal elements of the rational or the skeptical community has had problems with. I don't know if this is, I don't want to make any comment to why he's doing that. I don't know if, you know, cause there's no way to tell if he's trying to gain more listenership. Is he trying whatever? But when you get into conspiracies and making the claim that, of course, the conspiracy is that Heather Heyer was one of the 31 injured. Take that back. She was killed as part of this, during the rally, a driver plowed into a crowd of people, injuring 31. And of course, in the news that Heather was killed in this attack. Well, somebody, I'm trying to find out where this comes from, but apparently the story of that she had had a heart attack as opposed to being, she died from the heart attack, not from being injured in the attack at the rally. And almost immediately, Sargon and a fellow, Colin Robinson, also known as Millennial Woes, were discussing that how the, you know, that this was all part of a leftist propaganda that Heather, because she really died from a heart attack, not by the, you know, being made out to be the martyr for the liberals. Of course, the problem is no one's ever come out and said she had a heart attack. There's no evidence that this is any truth to this. The records, the coroner records, the medical records have not been released. They probably might not be released. There's no way that these people could know that she had died of a heart attack. So this is a story that's being created to generate a backlash against the left as part of a, you know, because now they're lying about one, maybe nobody died, you know, again, we're getting into the false flag, that type of stuff, though no one's yet called this a false flag yet. So, I guess I gotta wait about a week and that should be popping up. Hopefully not, but who knows. But what bothers me about this is that the alt-right, Sargon, and this millennial woes, they're taking this story, someone who's been injured, killed during a peaceful protest, is supposed to be peaceful, but someone decides to drive their car through a crowd, injure 31, kills one, and that somehow this one discrepancy in the story invalidates everything. And I think this is morally reprehensible that anybody would even consider this, that this tragedy that occurred can be all of a sudden shoved under the rug because of one discrepancy that isn't really a discrepancy yet, because there's no evidence that anything that these two guys, Sargon and Millennial, that there's just no, you know, that there is no evidence to support any of the claims these two guys have made. I think I probably should stop at this point because now I'm going to have to start looking at who these guys are, what's their agendas. They're certainly not into reason, but I have to try to remain somewhat open to the idea that these are just, again, because this is coming out of Media Matters, I believe, that this story may be embellished somewhat. So, but certainly watching the videos, this is really what these guys said, but I want to make sure that I don't expect to be squeak clean on this, but I want to be really damn close. So, stay tuned for more on this. So I'd like to thank you for listening. Sorry about being really late. I really kind of messed up the first recording. Of course, the Christmas holiday is kind of kicking my butt and work is kicking my butt. So with any luck, I can have this thing out. I'm hoping to have this out. Should be hearing this Wednesday evening. So, thank you for listening and, we'll talk to you next week. Thank you. Goodbye.